feeling a bit insecure. I've normally got quite a few pages of typed up notes, but now I've just got a page of scribble. But I really believe this is what God wants to share with us this morning. Just going back to the story of Joseph and Laban that Duncan read for us earlier. Jacob and Laban. Jacob was an interesting character. Right from even before he was born, Jacob and Esau were twins in the womb, and there was war going on even before they were born in the womb as to who was going to be born first. And they were born with Esau coming out first, but Jacob actually holding on to his leg. This had been his real battle, you know, I'm going to get there first. And then Jacob later on stole the birthright that Esau should have had. I was told from a mess of pottage, which is a, a lovely phrase, and the blessing from his father. And a bit later on, Jacob meets this character called Laban, who just sort of left him standing in the sort of field of being cunning and devious. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, that was Laban's daughter. Laban said he could work for him for 7 years and then marry her. After 7 years, his bride sort of came to him heavily veiled, went through the marriage ceremony, and then afterwards found out that it was her elder sister, Leah, and not Rachel herself. He went back to Laban, who said, well, you know, it's always got to be the elder sister who's married first. If you want Rachel, you can work for another 7 years. And then she can be yours. And then after all this, you know, when Jacob had worked for Laban for many years, and as we were told in the reading, his wealth increased, his flocks increased, Jacob wanted to go off on his own then, form his own, home. Laban said, yes, I'll give you all the speckled sheep, you know, the ones that aren't all one colour. And then deviously, he and his sons went and removed all the speckled sheep, so that there were only the one coloured sheep left, mostly the white sheep and the goats. And took them, we're told, 3 days' journey away, so they were quite a long way away, so Jacob couldn't get them. And then Jacob, obviously must have been divinely inspired, took these branches. Now, I was going to bring you a prop. I was going to get some branches and, peel the bark away. He made them striped, and hard as I tried, I could only get blotches. So, sorry, no props this morning. But he got these twigs, you know, branches, carved out stripes in them, and he put these branches where the sheep would come and have water in a watering trough, so that when the sheep came to have a drink of water, they would see these twigs, and then they mated by the watering trough. And why have I brought you that story? Just because when they saw that, it's impossible in natural, I believe, for, you know, white sheep to have speckled offspring. But supernaturally, because they looked at those twigs, which were brown and white stripes, then their offspring were mottled brown and white. And so they belonged to Jacob, and his flock increased. And it just sort of occurred to me, what they looked at was what was formed in them. Okay? What they looked to was what was formed in them. And I just felt that was the message that God wanted to bring across to us this morning for the new year. What are you looking to? You know, in the natural, we can sort of look around, and I sort of look at myself a year older, having had a birthday yesterday. I had quite a nasty fall yesterday, so I'm feeling a bit battered and bruised and, you know, a bit older. If I look at myself in the natural, I think, oh dear. But But if I step out of that and look at it, you know, through God's eyes, God has tremendous plans for, not just for me, but for each and every one of us. And what are we looking at? Are we looking in the natural? You know, we're all getting a bit older. And you think, you know, we've come here to retire, perhaps. But God's got different ideas, and we want to look through what He has for us, what He has. And as Duncan was reading, you know, has plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. So what are we looking to? Are we looking in the natural? Or are we looking through the eyes of God for what God wants for the future for us? Praise God, you know, for all that's past. But we do thank God for all that's to come as well. I remember a few years ago, sort of, when we just come here, and I was feeling, you know, we sort of got our house more or less how we wanted it and everything. And I thought, well, you know, God, why have you brought me here? I don't want my life to be over. I want every day that I've got, you know, really to count for God. And I think God really answered that prayer. And, you know, it's still my prayer. I want every day that I've got left really to count for God and for God's kingdom. Amen. We sort of praise God for the way He's used Duncan and I in the past, but we've sort of really taken Will Graham's words to heart that He's got greater things in store for us. And, yeah, Duncan was saying, I always ask the Lord for a verse at the beginning of the year. And the one He gave me for this year is, you know, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past, I'm doing a new thing. Before it springs into being, I announce it to you. So God is doing a new thing for this year. And I'm just sort of thrilled and excited about what is going to happen, what He's going to do in us, and what He's going to do through us this year. Big dreams, big hopes, big vision. I'm a big fan of Joseph Prince. In fact, I get a devotional from him every day through the internet, which I really love reading. And I was reading the other day about him, and he said he was a scrawny, skinny child in the playground. Okay, all the other kids were playing around, he was just watching them. He became a stuttering, stammering teenager with a terrible self-image. But now he speaks to 19,000 people every Sunday. 19,000 people from what he was. You know, he didn't look at what he was himself. He looked at God's plans for him. You know, what he looked at was what was formed in him. Or Abraham. Love that story of how God came to him and said, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he, in his own tent, he must have looked at himself in those surroundings. And he, the Bible just says quite simply he was past it. Looked at Sarah, who was well past her menopause. So she was past it. There was no way in the natural, looking at it in his own tent, that this was going to happen. But God took him outside of his own tent, under God's tent, you know, the great firmament stars. It's like, look at all the stars. Your offspring are going to be as numerous as that. And when he looked at it from God's perspective, you know, God's big tent rather than his own little tent, he had a much greater vision, a much greater faith for what God was going to do in the future. Or Gideon was hiding in a wine press, and God just suddenly said to him, hail, mighty warrior. He was cowering away, but God could see the potential that was there in Gideon. 1 Corinthians 1, just come and look at that for a minute. Verse 26 onwards. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not. You can't get much lower than not, can you? To nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. God does not call the qualified, but qualifies the called. Okay, amen. God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. God has great things in store for each and every one of us. Look to what God is showing you. Fix your eyes on what God has in front of you. Think of those branches, you know. And what you're looking to is what will be formed in you. Amen. But remember that for the new year. He who has promised is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. And I just believe, you know, at the start of this year, that God wants some sort of response from us. So, you know, if you really are determined at the beginning of this year to look for what God is saying, for where God is leading us, rather than to look through our own physical eyes, would you like to stand now and we'll all pray together?